Chapter 1. The place felt wrong before I even saw the sign. A crooked slab of sun-bleached plywood leaning against rusted posts, announcing Calder's Crossing. The letters chipped and flaking, like they were trying to peel themselves free. The road narrowed, the air thickened, and ahead of me the town rose out of the heat like something that didn't want to be found, and resented me for looking. One main street, no traffic lights, no sidewalks worth mentioning, just sun-cracked asphalt, and buildings that leaned into the heat like they had stopped arguing with the weather and lost. Calder's Crossing wasn't a town so much as a pause in the road, the kind you hit when the map gets tired of pretending it knows what's out there. A gas station clung to life on the corner, posing as a convenience store. Next door sat a hardware shop that sold fishing nets, crab traps, and whatever passed for hope along the Georgia marsh. Two doors down, a shrimp and bait shack squatted, its sign half fallen. Then came the auto repair and tow yard. Two rusted hulks parked out front, and a man permanently folded under a raised hood, like he had put down roots and forgotten how to stand up straight. Beside it sat the general office, a squat concrete box that handled mail, money orders, fishing permits, and most of the town's secrets. Out front, a bulletin board sagged under layers of yellowed notices, handwritten ads, and one torn flyer about a missing dog that had probably learned better by now. And then, there was the Crossroads Botanica. Tidy sign, painted shutters, wind chimes whispering. The kind of place that looked harmless until you looked twice. Selling herbs, charms, candles, and things that didn't really belong in a town that still measured life in tides and shrimp nets. Across the street, the lighthouse diner crouched like it had seen too much to care anymore. Faded siding, a neon sign overhead that didn't look like it would shine too bright once the sun went down. And that was it. No police station. No visible law. Just the quiet understanding that whatever happened in Calder's Crossing stayed in Calder's Crossing. Out there in the boonies, cell service was mostly folklore. You might catch a flicker of signal if you stood in the right patch of sunlight and didn't breathe too hard. But the second you moved, it vanished. Isolation came standard. That was when I clocked the men. Four of them parked beside the auto yard in a beat-to-hell pickup with mismatched doors and rust bleeding through the paint. They weren't talking much, just standing there like they were part of the scenery, their eyes doing all the work. When I rolled past in my pickup, their attention sharpened. I could feel their eyes go hard. That told me everything I needed to know about how strangers were received in Calder's Crossing. While their eyes were still glued on me, I caught something else in my peripheral, and it made the hair on my neck file a complaint. A truck sat crooked beside the tow yard. I knew its plate. Both front tires had been slashed clean to the rim. I didn't slow down, didn't turn my head. Situational awareness had been carved into my bones long before I ever wore a uniform. It was a reflex. See everything. Show nothing. I kept rolling, slow and easy, like I had nowhere else in the world to be, and parked outside the diner. If this town had a pulse, that's where I would feel it. I had come looking for a woman I had never met and only knew by name, but now I knew I was standing in the right spot, because someone had already made sure she wasn't going anywhere, and I had driven straight into the middle of whatever storm she had kicked up. All I knew when I left my ranch in Colorado's Rockies and chased the road clear to the marshes on Georgia's coast was that her name was Helen McCaskill, and that she and my mom had been best buddies, back when the world was simpler, and both of them ran barefoot with their hair in pigtails and dirt on their knees.